Chapter 13. After leaving the governor, I went to see Bob Brow at the palace. I needed a lawyer, and in my experience, saloon owners knew all about the townspeople. I hoped that he could direct me to a lawyer who didn't just trade favors with politicians. Saloon owners weren't early risers, but he had come in while I was eating breakfast, so he might still be around. But when I entered the palace, Brow was no longer in sight. I was about to ask the barkeep for his whereabouts when I spotted Doc Holliday eating alone. It was mid-morning, and gamblers seldom stirred before noon. The thought struck me that everyone got up early in this town. I ordered a cup of coffee from the bar and walked over to Holliday. "May I join you?" "No." He gave me a curious look. He continued in his easy southern drawl. "I'll excuse your rudeness, because you're new to town, but I do not abide being interrupted at breakfast. Everybody else knows it. Now you do, too." I bowed slightly. "I apologize, doctor. Is there a time I could see you?"
"About what?"
There was curiosity in his voice. "I need legal help for my friend." "When you address someone as doctor, it means they are most probably not in the legal profession." "At present," I said, "if I'm not mistaken, you're a gambler, and gamblers know people, or they don't stay in the profession long. I thought you might direct me to a lawyer with skill and character." I worried that I had overstayed his patience, but Holliday laughed instead of snarling at me.
"A lawyer with character? Next you'll want me to find you a generous banker. Well, hell, you might as well sit, sir."
He waved me into a seat across from him. As I sat, he bellowed out to the room in general, "Don't none of you jackals get the idea you can bother me at breakfast. I'm likely to put a bullet in your fat yaps." As I sipped some scalding coffee, Holliday gave me a sly wink before asking, "What are you looking for?" I said, "The best lawyer in the territory, one with experience defending criminals, but also savvy in delaying trials. I have money."
"That's always handy," I shrugged.
"Why do you want to delay?" Holliday asked. "I have a detective en route, but it will take him a while to get here."
"You believe your friend's innocent?"
"I know he is." Holliday seemed to mull that over. "Lots of people are happy Campbell's dead, including your friend. What makes you think he's not the one who did it?" Now, I thought, sowing a little worry around town about what we might know or what evidence we might possess could be advantageous. "I can't disclose that at the moment," I said, "but we need time. I need a lawyer who knows how to tie the proceedings in knots that'll take weeks to untangle."
"You want Mac Castle," said Holliday.
"What can you tell me about him?" I asked.
"A rarity, an honest lawyer. If he distrusts you, he'll send you on your way. But if he accepts you as a client, he's the best around. That boy's clever as a saloon gal sizing up the clientele. When he's in court, everybody comes to watch because he's entertaining, sarcastic, and irreverent."
Holliday chuckled.
"A man after my own heart. But somehow his cranky style appeals to juries as well as the grandstands."
"Castle seemed like my man. But I had to ask, what do you think of George Blanchette?" Holliday jerked back like I had shown him a photograph of a circus freak.
"If you steal a claim or commit fraud, Blanchette will gladly defend you. He's as shifty as they come. But I wouldn't hire him to defend your friend."
I nodded. "Just checking. Someone else recommended him."
You trust this person's judgment? He sounded incredulous. I said, I wouldn't be interrupting your breakfast if I did. He gave me an odd look. You trust me? I tried a friendly smile. I trust your judgment. I stood. If you'll excuse me, I need to find Mr. Castle. Not hard, said Holliday. His office is next door. Good day, Mr. Dancy. I left the palace, pleased that Doc Holliday had remembered my name.